All right. Wow, look at that. Huge call of the day. Taco dinner from me. Every line lit. We'll get your calls here in just a second. So, Momo, we forgot to do Wheel of Questions, and we always do Wheel of Questions around here. It's brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around, you can bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for a cash offer. Go to Puente Hills Toyota. They are the house of yes. All right, Taylor, give the wheel a spin. These are all my questions. They are all stupid.
I'm happy with that.
Here you go. Do crabs think humans walk sideways? Do crabs think humans walk sideways? I'm trying to find more and more obscure questions.
This is excellent. You know what? I feel like, I think Ask Lee has really challenged you to step up there.
Yeah, it has. It really has. This would be a great Ask Lee question.
It really would. Should I answer Ask Lee?
Yes, you should, but we should also tell Emily to ask this question tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Let's see if gives a better Slee answer. I guess I will. Well, Mace, should I do the Slee with voice? I don't think I could pull that off. I think that the first part of your question is, do crabs think about humans?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know the brain capacity of a crab. Are they an intelligent creature, or are they? Do they have just mush for brains?
I mean, they walk sideways, if that tells you anything.
They do walk sideways, you're right.
But you
can't
know,
be that smart.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty evolved creatures. Like, this is a little itty-bitty thing, and they built a hard shell around them, and they know how to exist with all the big fish
out
there.
Live in their own house.
Yeah, they got their own house. They got defense mechanisms on both hands. I mean, they're, it's pretty highly evolved to me.
So, yes or no?
Yeah, I think they look at us and wonder. I think we're just like the big people. I think we're just like a big shark to them, though.
Here's what I think about crabs. Delicious.
It's a great line.
What? Delicious. I love good crab,
yeah,
man. Good
it
crab
is, really
is great. Like that. My mom's favorite thing is, crab legs, which I think are kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's
there's
too much
so
work.
Much work, and then you get this little tiny sliver of crab meat. But good crab is great crab. I don't think they know any. I don't think they have a brain. I think I've actually been through a crab eating it, and I don't think there is a brain there.
So I
don't think crabs have any clue what they're doing or what we're doing. Bergman, do you disagree?
I think I'm with Momo. I think they think we walk sideways since they walk sideways. But also, this is kind of like with the goldfish from Ted Lasso. How do we know that the goldfish remembers anything or forgets anything? So how do we know that the crabs think one way or the other?
I mean, I just think the crabs are trying not to get caught. Like, that's their whole
thing. Right.
What am I going to eat? How do I not get caught in that net thing the sideways walkers throw?
I don't think we have any clue of what's going on. I don't think crabs have any intelligence.
I mean, haven't
whatsoever.
You seen, Finding Nemo and stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're looking at us
they
going
don't
like,
sing and dance,
why are they going
Mama,
sideways?
I'll give you a hint.
How
they
do you know? You haven't been down there?
They're not doing like Be Our Guest or whatever that is under
it's
the
sea. Sebastian, and it's Kiss the Girl.
Yeah. Don't know. Don't think they have any clue.
By the way, that was a great question, Mace. That was excellent.
It was very well
it's
done.
Better than Ireland. Like,
way
if your
better.
Friend murdered 10 people and you knew about it, would you call the cops? Stuff like that is Ireland stuff.
Your friend was a serial killer.
If you die tomorrow, all the questions have somebody dying.
Yeah, or murder.
All that
or cheating,
stuff.
Infidelity. He's big on the infidelity questions.
He'll be back with a question tomorrow. All right, so huge call of the day. We're kicking around everything, and I'm sending the best call of the day a complete taco dinner for Taco Tuesday. Let's go to Jeff in Newbury Park. Jeff, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Jeff. Moving on from Jeff, let's go to TJ in Glendale. TJ, what's up? He dropped. Let's go to Lewis in Riverside. Lewis. Taylor, tell me
phones.
What's happening. Go to Jay in Torrance. Jay, you're on 710. What are you doing?
What up? I ain't winning no tacos tonight because last time I called, you said the Niners suck. But the point I want to make is the Rams are cheaters.
How are they cheaters?
So I was at the game.
Yep.
It was definitely 50-50, if not 55-45 Niners fans. You agree?
I have it as 50-50. I thought the Rams fans did okay. I wish they wouldn't have sold their tickets, but I thought it was 50-50. With you.
Okay, 50-50 is fine. And you also said earlier or yesterday, whenever it was, that you thought Niners fans were drunk beer everywhere, right?
Niners fans broke the record for most beer sold by opposing fans.
Then why, when it was third down for the Niners, the stadium was louder than it was when it was third down for the Rams? I think the Rams are pumping stadium noise into the building. There's no way the sober Rams fans were louder than the drunk Niners fans, and I was there.
Okay. I do not believe they're pumping sound in. Otherwise, they'd be pumping a lot more in. I'll say this. I thought, you know, Matthew Stafford had to deal with crowd noise. He absolutely did. The same way Jimmy Garoppolo had to deal with crowd noise. Part of it is, Mark, see if this makes sense. I think we're talking who are we talking to?
Jay,
sorry about that, Jay. I think one of the things that that happens with Rams fans is I know to stand up and cheer on third down. I wish everybody stood up and cheered on third down. I don't know why we can't just make a verbal agreement that we're all going to stand up and cheer on third down when the other team is on third down and make noise.
I have a question, guys.
What?
Greg, are you in favor of me totally pissing Mace off right now?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm in
Please
favor
do.
Of you totally pissing
you know who
off
you
right
sound
now.
Like
this
right
is
now?
Radio. What?
Do you know who you sound like?
Who?
Steve Ballmer. You know, the Clipper owner who's like, he gives out like a check to the fan who's in their stands the earliest when they get there at the beginning of the game and you're there ready to cheer the whole time. And then in Inglewood, when they open their new stadium, they're going to have he wants you in your seat the whole time. He even put more bathrooms in so that people can be in and out faster. There'd be no lines.
You want to encourage crowd engagement.
I totally agree with you. I just didn't know that you would end up in the same category is Steve Ballmer on anything. I mean, it's like
I think that's any team. Don't you want? I mean, you know, Sam Lagana says it's third down, and everybody's supposed to stand up. That's the cue. When Sam Lagana does that, it means stand up and make noise. And I will tell you that I do it every time. Me and Juan do it every time, even if the people around us aren't doing it. It's like, come on. I'm not the wave the arms guy. I'm not like that guy. Come on, everybody. But I'm going to do it every time.
Do you get your keys out and shake your keys to make noise?
No.
On kickoffs?
No.
Okay.
I don't shake my keys. That doesn't make any noise, does it?
It does. If the whole stadium does it, it's pretty cool.
Everybody shakes their keys?
Yeah. Well, that was
Who does that?
That was a Stanford thing. I don't know. We used to do that in college.
Yeah, that's
UCLA. UCLA does that to Trojan fans during games.
I admire your fandom. I think that's really impressive. I also do like to take a break sometimes to go sample the food items, although Ireland told me there's no good food there, so I don't know. I like to get a little break.
It's not good selection.
Selection. I don't get that, but I've heard it from other people. I personally have an excellent selection of dining cuisine I'm just a hot dog guy.
Yeah, I get it.
All I want is a hot dog. Hot dog and nachos. Same thing at a Dodger game. Hot dog and nachos, extra jalapenos. That's what I eat at every ball game. And the CityLink dogs that they serve at Rams games are excellent. Okay. Much better than the dogs now, the Dodger dogs at Dodger Stadium.
Not
even Dodger dogs.
They're just hot dogs.
They're fine.
Let's go to Juan in Diamond Bar. Juan, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hello there. How you doing today?
Everything is great, Juan.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Morris has to go and McVay has to make that change.
Whoa.
We continue to let the wide receivers 5 or 6 yards behind. So by the time they take off 3 steps, we're moving 3 steps back. And they get a pass, and we have no defense on that. The defensive line, all we do is bull rush. We got to make some turns.
Well, here's the thing, Juan. I thought the big problem, and, you know, Raheem Morris is getting heat over this, and maybe it's fair. I mean, I thought we just didn't tackle well in that game. You know, I just thought we gave up yardage, particularly on the run, over and over and over again, and we just weren't tackling. Elijah Mitchell would just slide right through that line and get extra yardage on after contact every single time. It was the yards after contact that really killed us. Now, is that Raheem Morris's fault that we didn't tackle
well? It is,
well?
Because we don't have a linebacker. We haven't had a linebacker for years. We need someone in the middle to stop them from coming in. I mean, they just walk right through us. We have a linebacker that weighs 187.
Okay, but you can't put that on Raheem Morris, can you?
Well, listen, you're in charge of the linebacker. So is McVay. McVay doesn't say anything about our defense. Our defense stinks. We're like the Chargers. Everybody runs through us.
All right, do me a favor, Taylor. Get Juan's information. He's definitely in the running for caller of the day. Hot take. Do you blame Raheem Morris for what we saw?
I was on his case during the game. I mean, I don't think he's the reason why they lost, but I felt like the 49ers were just more physical than the Rams. Like, they just seemed like they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides, both, like, on the offensive line and the defensive line. I don't know if the Rams' defense was getting tired or whatever it was, but, like, I don't know. They seemed like they could run on the Rams whenever they wanted, which is not something you expect with a defense that has Aaron Donald on it.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in the defense,
yep.
Particularly on the drive at the end of regulation.
Yes.
You know, what was interesting about that drive, I thought, was that San Francisco used no timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
They just basically said they played backyard football. They just, I mean, Jimmy didn't even know that some of those snaps were coming.
Yeah.
And they would they didn't spike the ball except for once. They just ran up to the line of scrimmage and just rolled. And I don't think even those were called plays.
Yeah.
I think those guys were just, hey, I'll get open somehow.
It seemed like he had no pressure on him either.
None. Well, they were rushing three.
Yeah, but
they were rushing three and dropping eight back into coverage, and it just wasn't enough. And they were way back. They were too far back in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They were preventing themselves to death and allowing San Francisco to eat up really, really easy yards. So, yeah, I guess, you know what? I think it's fair to blame Raheem Morris for the performance of the defense. That is his job. That is his gig. And I thought that the defense, particularly on the last drive of regulation, was atrocious. They were not aggressive. They allowed too much easy yardage in the middle of the field, thinking that San Francisco was just going to throw sideline stuff. And San Francisco played fast, and we weren't ready for it.
Honestly, outside of Jalen Ramsey's amazing interception, I mean, he's that guy. Every game I watch Jalen Ramsey, he makes like five plays.
He's great. He's unbelievable.
Like, wow. Like he almost intercepted that one. I forget who the pass was to for the Niners, but he dove for it, was like inches away from picking that one off, got up and still made the tackle down at the five. I mean, how do you have a team with so many amazing defensive players that got work like that in the second half?
Yeah. And especially on that last drive, that was painful to watch. Taylor, I know I no longer have any clue looking at my screen who's online. Who should I go to? Mark in Thousand Oaks. Mark, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, yeah, you know, I got at least a positive Ram story here for you guys.
All right.
Excellent.
So I coach an 8 and 9 year old flag football team in Thousand Oaks, or, you know, Westlake Village area. And we are the Rams, by the way. And so we go to practice. Practice ends. I leave with my wife. We took two cars, went out to dinner, come back from dinner. There's one car in the parking lot. The field is dark, no lights on. The one car is a Lamborghini SUV. Ooh. Then I get out and I start looking and watching, and it's Odell Beckham Jr. running routes in the dark at 8 o'clock at night last Wednesday.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to hang out, watch him run some routes. You know, me and my 8-year-old boy, who was wearing a Stafford jersey at the time, which was kind of cool. And, you know, sure enough, when he's done running the routes, came over, you know, spent about 5 or 10 minutes with us, kind of just chatting away. And, you know, I get to sit there and tell my 8-year-old, here's a guy that's at the pinnacle of his profession. And here he is at 8 o'clock at night on a Wednesday running routes in the dark. Was
wow.
Pretty awesome.
That's a great story, man. That is a great story. All right, you're in it for huge call of the day, man. It's a great story. Get his information, Taylor. I like that story a lot. That's great to hear about Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, it didn't really help him in the game.
Hey.
I mean, it's a good story.
He's working hard, and he's nice to kids.
I like that. I've liked him so far since he
Let's
got
not knock
to L.A.
Working but, hard and nice to kids.
I know. I'm not knocking it. I just didn't see a lot of that on the field on Sunday.
He was only targeted 5 times, and one of them was that interception.
I know. It seemed like the ball's behind him, and he doesn't have chemistry or something with Stafford, or maybe Stafford's just underthrowing him every time.
All right.
Totally underthrowing him.
I'm sending, since it's Taco Tuesday, I'm sending personally a taco dinner to what I think is the huge call of the day. So far, Juan is in it, Juan from Diamond Bar, and Mark in Thousand Oaks. 877-710-ESPN. All right, coming up, I forgot the baby thing. We're going to do the baby thing coming up next. You're going to love this, Momo. It's a way for little baby Daniel to get involved in Mason and Ireland. You can't be too young to get involved in Mason and Ireland. That's what I always say. The kids love this show.
I think Daniel likes it. He hears it on and doesn't run away.
And probably hears you.
Yeah, he hears me, yeah.
Mom's on the radio.
Yeah, well, usually when I finish, he goes, "Are you off the phone?" Yeah, he goes, "Yay!" That's his experience of me on the radio.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, I got the baby bit coming up next.
All right,
plus
let's do
your
it.
Calls.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the year of calling people soft if they're being soft. Going to tell the truth
Ooh,
around here.
Coming back with some Mamma Mia.
What for?
No, this is a song.
Yeah, I know, but what?
Take
oh, because we're going to talk babies. I got
yeah.
you. Boy, I tell you, you want to talk about an annoying movie.
Oh, my God, Ooh. I love Mamma Mia. Don't you say
oh,
a word.
Oh, my mom dragged me to one of those things.
I thought, dragged Nevin to that, too.
I honestly was just sick from it. That movie is, don't you think that movie is exclusively for women?
It's totally a chick flick. There's no, I can't even, I made Nevin go see the movie with me. And then for the sequel, I was like, I'm not going to do that to you. I can't.
Oh, God.
I'll go with my mom. It's definitely
so
a chick
much,
flick.
There was so much estrogen in that theater. So, Momo, you got a baby?
Yeah, well, he's three now, but yeah.
Baby Daniel. Now, what? Yeah. Okay, I've done this a couple of times.
Okay.
What is the age that a baby stops being a baby?
Technically, it's when they start walking. They're a toddler. But I really think they're kind of a baby until like 1.5, 2. They kind of become more independent and stuff.
So now you would call Daniel a toddler instead of a baby.
Oh, he's definitely a toddler.
Did you hear what Laura Rutledge from ESPN did?
No, she's got a cute baby.
She's got a cute baby named Reese.
I know. That's such a perfect name.
She 2 years old.
Yeah.
So here's what she did. For 17 bowl games, Laura Rutledge took a helmet from each team that was playing.
Okay.
And whatever helmet Reese, the baby, would run up to, that would be the pick in the game.
Okay.
The pick to win.
How'd she
Reese,
do?
The baby, finished 14-3,
Woo!
Including last night picking Georgia Dang! Over Alabama.
That's good.
How about that for Reese, the baby?
Way to go, Reese. See, my kid wouldn't do either of that. He would just, like, pick up all of them and throw them.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. Friday. You're okay. here on Friday.
I'm at my house, yeah. Actually, at my parents' house, but yeah.
Will you be near your baby or your toddler?
No, but I could try to bring him over. So I don't know. We can do something. What do you want?
I want to find a way for toddler Daniel
All right.
to pick each of the weekend wild card playoff games.
Okay, so maybe it doesn't have to be live on air. I think we should just do this separately. I'll do it, and I'll, like, film it, and I'll tell you what he picked.
Okay, good, good.
Because yeah, I think we'll live on air is probably, he doesn't, Daniel doesn't play along with our bits very well. Like, I always try to get him to say hi, and he's like, no! And I'm like, okay, way to go along with the bit, hon.
You know, just, you know what it proves?
Huh.
These games are so random.
So random.
Especially college yeah. football bowl games are the most random.
Yeah.
Because who knows who's got motivation and all that. So at least with the NFL playoffs, you know everybody is yeah. motivated to
so
win.
So I'm in this one of those pick 'em pools, like it's a, and I'm terrible. I like
college football.
No,
like
NFL.
Confidence pool?
NFL. It's a confidence points pool. Okay.
How do I get into that?
I'll get you in. I'll send you the link if you want.
Yeah, I do. I like some action. Give me
yeah,
some action.
It's fun. I mean, and they have a weekly winner, and they also have the season-long winner. They have a margin pool, all the good stuff. Survivor pool, yada, yada. So sometimes I pick by myself, and I'm like, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll go, you know, 9-7.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I'm lucky. But most weeks, I'm 8-8. I'm like right above 500, right below 500. And I'm not even close to winning. Do you know when I win? When I have a bad week, the next week I do all random picks. And at least once every season that I play, the random pick will win.
Really?
It'll just be automatic. I'll go, all random picks. And then I win. And I'm like, okay. Should I just do this every week? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's happened 3 times already.
Now,
win $50, but it's...
Just from looking at it.
All right.
Don't you think that these games are going to be very chalky this weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple that I'm going to pick the Raiders, and that would be an upset.
That would be an upset.
I think San Francisco has a good chance against Dallas.
I completely agree with you. I think San Francisco, I'm rooting for San Francisco yeah. to beat Dallas, because if they do, we with a win will go to Tampa instead of going to Green Bay.
Ooh,
I'd
yeah,
much rather go to Tampa.
Yeah, so those are the two that I think could be upsets. The rest I think are chalky.
Like I don't think Tampa beats. I don't think Philly beats
no.
Tampa.
Nope.
I think San Francisco can beat Dallas.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think Pittsburgh can beat Kansas City.
Nope.
I think the Rams will beat Arizona, but yeah. Some people will call that a toss up.
Yeah.
Buffalo New England's a good game. Buffalo's favored, yeah. but I would never count Bill Belichick
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like New England got hot a little too early. They might have peaked too early.
And you're picking Vegas over Cincinnati.
Yeah, but that's a homer pick. I mean,
Cincinnati is a 5.5-point favorite. There are really no the big line is Tampa Bay over Philly. That's 8.5.
Oh,
no, actually, the big line is Kansas City over Pittsburgh,
right.
12.5.
I would actually see in my confidence pool, I've learned anytime it's like double-digit numbers, I pretty much always take the underdog because it's hard to cover. But Dallas is one of those teams that they're really good against the spread this year. Like, even if you want to go, like last week I picked against Dallas and they totally covered. It was a big number.
Oh, huge number, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like most of the time, like even last week, I did really well because a lot of the, you know, the Lions won, the Jaguars won. I picked all of those because it's such a big number. I'm like, 15.5 points. Come on, even the Jaguars can win that, can cover that. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the game, but 15
and
a half.
Sure enough, they won the game.
Yeah.
Bergman, are you any good at picking games? Or actually, no, I know the answer to that.
Why you should know the answer to that, because I'm usually very good at it and win mythical money all the time.
So what do you think this weekend?
So for this weekend, I'm with you with a lot of them. I think the Niners are going to win that game against Dallas.
Oh, I hope they do.
I'm
in a weird
think.
Position. I'm actually rooting for the Niners.
I don't know who you are anymore.
So Dallas has a really good defense, and they got that one dude that has like 11 interceptions or whatever it is. But for some reason, Dak Prescott in pressure situations does not play all that well. And I think in this, he's not going to play very well. So I like San Francisco there. A homer pick, Las Vegas. I got to go with the Raiders no matter what. I also don't think Cincinnati's as good as they're being made out to be.
Oh, no, man.
They've
Joe
really
Burrow is the real thing.
He's really good. They were up and down this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I know, but they peaked at the right time. They got hot late.
They lost the last game. Didn't they lose to Cleveland that last game?
But
they
did lose to Cleveland. Yeah.
They didn't play Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Right, it wasn't the same. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is an excellent receiver.
Oh,
so
my
two
God,
of
he's
them
unbelievable.
Playing each other is amazing. I do like Josh Allen, and I think that he is a much better quarterback than Mac Jones. So I think that's I like Buffalo in that game, but at the same time, New England in the playoffs is really, really tough to bet against. And then I'm going with the Rams. I think the Rams
will
beat Arizona.
There you go.
I don't think Arizona, they're a fraud.
They are a fraud.
For a few weeks now. Total frauds.
You know, it's so funny. My mom hates Arizona.
Wow.
She she describes them as that team with that little guy.
Oh, my gosh.
And she, for the last 2 years, you know, we do the survivor pool every year.
Uh-huh.
She, for the last 2 years, when she went out, she picked Arizona.
Oh.
So she went out twice on Arizona, 2 years in a row. So she hates that team with that little guy.
Kyler Murray. Okay, he's really good.
He's great. This is just, all I'm telling you is what my mom says.
Yeah, I thought it might have been like a Palm Springs rivalry against the Arizona people. Because, like, that's sort of like a retirement community feud, right? Where do you want to
retire?
Yeah,
no, it's not that. It's not that. She went out twice in Survivor because of Arizona, and she hates that team with that little guy.
Yeah.
That's her official take. All right, I want to get some calls in. We're doing Taco Tuesday. I'm sending a full taco dinner to whoever has, and I just invented this today. We're calling it the huge call of the day. This has never been done anywhere. It's incredibly fresh. Don't you think, Bergman? Very fresh.
First time's ever been done, ever.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We also got Jump Ball coming up for you. It is a loose, fun Tuesday. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a funny tweet. Ray Ortega tweets, maybe SoFi should turn the lights off so OBJ can run better routes.
Oh.
That's smart, a good line.
Smart asses. All right, let's go to Steve in NoHo. Steve, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm just doing a little bit of work. But listen, this Rams thing has been making me crazy all season. And there's something that doesn't get talked about much, and I'm going to ask you both the same question.
Okay.
Do you know who the Rams' first pick in last year's draft, or this past year's draft, was? 2021. Who they drafted first. It was in the second round, but who they took?
They had a second round pick this year?
Yeah, and they needed help at linebacker, and they needed help with the offensive line. And they could have used some help in the secondary because they lost a couple guys. But who did they draft in the second round?
In the second round. Do you already know the answer?
Of course I know the answer.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, tell us, because I don't know off the top of my head. Oh, I know.
5'6", 157-pound receiver, Tutu Atwell, okay?
Yeah.
This is a gadget guy at best. Now, let me just elaborate a little bit.
Okay.
I'm watching the draft, and I'm watching with a buddy who's a big NFL guy, and we're kind of, and he's always been talking about, well, the Rams seem to do well in the later rounds and they can trade away these picks. But I'm looking at the last few years and I'm thinking, they're not hitting on everything. And look, right after the Rams took Tutu Atwell at 57 overall, the Kansas City Chiefs took the guy that I wanted the Rams to take, which is Nick Bolton, a linebacker from Missouri. And I'm telling you, this guy has had a great first season. You know, he's a little bit, you know, fifth, sixth, maybe on the rookie of the year conversation.
Yep.
I don't know, but he's been great. Okay. He's physical. He's a guy who's fast. He's strong as hell. I'm telling you, this guy would have been a perfect fit for this defense. It's something they needed. And instead, McVay and Snead together have gone. What have they done? They've tried to get all tricky, get all gadgety, and they don't
I agree with you. They tend to go offense, although I'll point out, I was just pulling up the draft. They did go Ernest Jones in the third round, who's been really, really good for them. In fact, that's why they traded away Kenny Young. It was they wanted more Ernest Jones, and he's been really good. So they did take a linebacker, but I 100% agree with you on Tutu Atwell. It seemed at best like a novelty act, and he wound up not being healthy, but he had at least one muffed punt. They were using him in the return game. He at least had one muffed punt, and they ended up going with Cooper Kupp most of the time to return punts. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. That was a weird gadget pick, and it absolutely didn't work, and who knows if we're going to even see the guy again. Hey, Steve, good take. Stay on the line. You're in the running for taco dinner. I like that.
Hey, Mace.
Yo.
What does Les Snead say about picks?
F draft picks.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, he F'd that one up.
I mean,
he doesn't care about picks.
I got Von Miller. I got Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
I don't need your draft picks.
It's true, but they do draft better usually. Like Ernest Jones has been really good for them. Really good.
Mm-hmm. And they need some of those guys.
Yeah, but Tutu Atwell, I thought was a novelty act at best. I don't know what they were doing.
It was a very Raidery pick.
Yeah, it was.
It was Raidery.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't exaggerating. I think he is actually 5'6".
I mean, it's okay to be short, but I don't know.
He's short, fast, came from Louisville. I think they thought, and who knows, maybe he'll.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like Tavon Austin-y.
Wikipedia says he's 5'9", 165.
Oh, okay. That's what they list him at.
165 pounds. In that
list
game, 165 pounds. That's crazy. You know what story I never got to? You could play the Seinfeld thing. So I mentioned this earlier, the guy with all the lizards. So it's interesting. Momo, do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
When it first came out. I haven't watched it in a while.
I think mostly moms watch Dancing with the Stars. It's geared for women 50 plus.
Yeah, it's just too much of a time commitment. It's like 3 hours every week.
So this Dancing with the Stars dancer, Cheryl Burke, is married to Matthew Lawrence, who, Bergman, you know who Matthew Lawrence is?
Yes, Joey Lawrence's brother. He was in Boy Meets World.
Okay. So married to Matthew Lawrence, and Matthew, here's what Cheryl Burke said. I love animals, but he likes reptiles. His 40 to 50 reptiles live in the house. No snakes.
Whoa.
That was the deal. No snakes. But when we dated a little over a decade ago, I knew I would be marrying a guy who loves reptiles.
He has
all kinds of reptiles, including iguanas that look like alligators. Now, as a wife, Momo, would you be able to deal with that?
Oh,
if Nev was a reptile guy.
No, it's too much. What's the point of it? Is okay, but like you're basically living in a wild animal kingdom.
Yeah,
that's weird.
What is the point of a reptile, having a reptile? They don't have emotions, do they?
I don't know. I think it'd be okay
you don't
to have
pet
like a
reptile.
Like one. How many does he have?
A reptile doesn't jump up in your lap.
I mean, like, those iguanas are kind of cute. They're little geckos and iguanas. I mean, I could see, like, how that would be okay. But I don't want any snakes. I mean, some of those little lizards. We used to take Daniel when there was no place to go. Like, I mean, we'd just go to the pet store. Like, let's go to the pet store, kid. And he'd love it. Like, look at all the fish and look at all the reptiles. That was kind of cool.
But, I mean, cages filled with reptiles.
Too many. One.
In the house.
It's fine.
40 of them.
Ugh. No. Too many.
I don't get the appeal of reptiles because they don't. It's sort of like, I mean, I don't want to do the cat dog thing, but it's sort of like cats. I mean, cats really don't care whether
cats
you're there.
Cats definitely
or not.
Care. My
cats
cat runs to the door every
you.
Time I come home. She runs to the door.
Cats
she sits
are
on my lap. She snuggles.
Conniving and they have attitude and they stare at you and they don't really. Now you have a cuddly cat.
I have a big, fat, cuddly cat.
See, I think most cats aren't like that.
Yeah, the good ones are.
Most cats could
yeah, they
give a
hide
damn
under the
you.
Bed and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's true. But you got to get a good one. You got to get one of those cuddly ones.
And iguanas even less. What does an iguana do for you?
Just looks at you and sticks its mouth.
Just
up.
Looks at you, and you got to feed it live mice or something.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's people who are into that. I guess like let the iguana crawl on you or something. I don't know. It's not really like a
Bergman. Any
interactive
any
pet.
Thoughts on this? The Cheryl Burke and the 40 reptiles that live in her house.
I'm not a reptile guy in the slightest, but I'm also not a cat guy. The problem with cats is that they have this crazy amount of dander that people get really sick from. Like I'm allergic to cats, and I will not be around them. They're awful. Cats, just, I don't want to say suck.
No, they're great.
Cats, no.
You're just allergic to cats. They want, it's okay.
Well, yeah, because they're just not great animals.
They're great. They're clean up after themselves. They're not messy. The worst, they do barf every once in a while. That's true. But and usually on your carpet.
The one thing is you can leave them alone for like 4 days and you'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. They live. That's the problem with them at the same time. They don't need you.
Like kittens are super cute, right?
Cats are cute too. You just
but then they grow up to
cat.
Be cats that don't really care about you.
Exactly. They don't need you in the slightest. You can leave food and water and leave for 4 days and they don't care.
So
the great thing about dogs, Momo, is that they desperately, desperately want to please you.
Oh, that's fun.
That is so great.
Yeah.
Right? I need somebody to desperately, desperately want to please me. And my dog, Sophie and Fredo, definitely do.
Do they talk to you?
Yeah, they do. My dogs have voices.
I've heard them.
You know, like Sophie.
Hey, Momo. How you doing? This is Sophie. What's up? I'm on the radio with you right now.
And Fredo? Yes. I like a Daniel. When a Daniel pick up the football games? And we have conversations with them all the
time. Hey, let's turn that baby bit into a baby versus dog bit. Get your dog to pick a football game, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Put like put a treat on each one, right? And whichever one they run to, that's the one they picked.
Oh, Sophie will run to one.
Yeah.
She will absolutely. Okay, I'll do that.
Daniel versus Sophie.
Daniel versus Sophie picking games.
3-year-old versus dog.
Are you going to put a treat one for Daniel, too? He's just going to pick the two treats, like a little piece of
chocolate?
Well,
I'm going to try to say which one do you like better, you know, the Cardinals or the Rams. And if that doesn't work, because a lot of times I'll say, like, I did that the other day. I go, hey, who are we rooting for, Georgia or Alabama? And he's like, Peppa. I'm like, Peppa Pig? I'm like, that wasn't one of the choices. So it's probably not going to work if I name the teams, but I'll do like I'll put one in each hand. Right hand is the Rams and left hand is the, you know. I'll do it
like you can do that. And I'm going to do it. I'll do it with treats with Sophie because she is so food aggressive.
Yeah.
She will just run to one of them right away. She'll have to make a decision. Do I want this one? Well,
I'll try to do it the normal way and I'll try to film it. And if it doesn't work, then I'll end up doing it with treats.
Yeah, I'll film Sophie. I'll film Sophie doing it.
Okay.
She's crazy for treats.
Yeah.
So it'll be Daniel versus Sophie this weekend, picking the NFL.
And then
games.
You guys can do mythical money on who will win.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That is great. So you can bet on either Sophie or Daniel.
Daniel's card. Or it's like, and then we should put him up against the Fez.
And put him up against the Fez. Fez versus Daniel versus Sophie.
Yes.
The battle lines are drawn.
What if the Fez finishes last? What happens?
Yeah, what if my dog beats the Fez?
Well, the Fez has not had the greatest of years.
He's not had a great year.
Oh, man, no. I remember when he came on, he was like, bet the house on Washington. They're going to beat Dallas.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Oh, best bet.
What do you think the Fez's record was on his best bets?
How many weeks are there? 17?
Well, he wasn't on every week.
Okay.
So
let's say there's 15. I think he was probably 40% this year.
Did you keep a record, Bergman? Bets.
I did.
What was it?
So I can't.
He's
do
usually
math
pretty
that
good,
fast.
But this just, you know, it was a bad year.
He was 5-7.
5-7.
5-7.
Well, I mean, you know, a little under 500.
You know what I say? Flip a coin. 5-7.
Random pick set always wins.
Random picks. All right, coming up next for you is Jump Ball. This is where Bergman tries to give us a really hard-hitting, exciting, entertaining, interesting segment.
Oh, boy.
And he will try it again coming up next. Mason, an Ireland show. Momo in for John, 710 ESPN.
Sir,
very much, Key. And yes, listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max from 6 to 10 a.m. daily on 710 a.m.
It's a great show. I love it. I was listening to it this morning as I was going over to Starbucks for my spinach and feta sandwich.
Good. I listen to it every single morning. And Keyshawn gave his, you might have heard this then, Mace. Keyshawn gave his top five college coaches that need to win a championship at their current school.
Okay.
So I wonder if you agree with his list. You too, okay. Momo. Number five was Brian Kelly at LSU. Number four was Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Three was Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Two was Lincoln Riley at USC. Mm. And one was Ryan Day at OSU, Ohio State. Thoughts on this, and especially Lincoln Riley?
Mm. Okay. So Harbaugh, I think, is gone. Harbaugh, I think, is leaving. I think he's going to the NFL. I think he'll be the next Raiders head coach. Brian Kelly, there's a certain grace period that goes along with taking over a big program. Like, Brian Kelly's going to get a grace period at LSU.
I don't know.
You don't think
at
so?
At LSU? Mm. SEC?
You don't think he's expected to win a championship in the first year?
In his first year, no, but he's got to look good.
Got to look good, mm-hmm. to me, is a grace period. Now, Lincoln Riley, I'm incredibly excited about as a Trojans fan. And as many people know, I did USC pregame for years and all that stuff. And I'm excited about Lincoln Riley. I'm also excited that we're getting a new quarterback. We saw Jackson Dart transfer out this week. He went into the portal. And we're going to get, I assume, and it's been speculated about, I assume Jackson Dart transferred out because we're going to get Caleb Williams, who played for Lincoln Riley last year. And there's a wide receiver that is reportedly going to follow Caleb Williams to USC. I mean, I'm incredibly excited about the Trojans. Do I think he has to win a championship in year one?
Not in year one. No, not in year one. Just in general.
Oh, he'll have to win a championship.
Yes.
If he doesn't win a championship, it's a bust. And I think he will. I think he absolutely will. And, I would not count him out for – I wouldn't count him out for this year. Everybody – I mean, he's getting four-star, five-star guy after four-star, five-star guy. They're all falling into his class right now. People want to play at USC under Lincoln Riley. He is loading up. And, by the way, the college football national championship game, you know where it's going to be next year, Momo?
Here.
SoFi Stadium.
How'd that happen?
It's a big deal.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so cool. So Trojans playing at home.
Yeah.
In the national championship game at SoFi Stadium. How about it? Who's with me?
I'm with you. Why not? I mean, they're gonna get Caleb.
Yeah, they're getting Caleb. I mean, otherwise Jackson they wouldn't Dart let Jackson transfer Dart transfer out.
He knows something we don't know yet.
Yeah, no, they're getting Caleb Williams. Yeah, they're getting him.
All right, so we all love Snoop Dogg. Everything he touches seems to turn to gold. Well, he has filed a trademark in the food industry. Let's see if you can guess it. I wonder if you can guess it. It's pretty easy.
In the Snoop food Dogg, industry?
Yeah, in the food industry from Snoop Dogg.
Pot brownies.
No. That's a good guess. Right?
It's not a strain of weed or anything like
no,
that.
No. No, it is straight food.
Gin and juice?
Snoop Dogg. No? Okay.
Ooh, these were both good guesses.
They are. They're great guesses. I mean, he already has a gin, and he already has a cannabis industry.
Oh, God,
too.
He's got everything.
Dog food?
Yeah.
Dog
No,
food?
That's a really good guess,
that
too.
Is
but
a
no.
good guess, Taylor.
But it, no,
how,
so I'll
said
let you
this
know.
This was going to be easy, and we have three
I thought it
excellent
was easy.
Guesses.
His name is Dog. It's Hot Dogs. Then they're called Snoop Dogs.
Okay.
So he filed Perfect. A trademark for under Snoop Dogs. Are you in on trying out the Snoop Dogs?
100%.
Oh,
that sounds
yeah.
delicious.
I love Snoop Dogg.
Get those to SoFi next year.
Well, you know, Snoop Dogg is part of the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, Greg, would you have a Snoop Dogg over the formerly known as Dodger Dogs?
Yeah, absolutely. It can't be worse than what's over there at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I would put money on Snoop's dog.
Absolutely. Snoop yeah. Dogs.
I'm all in. Snoop Dogg is all right.
Oh, all right. We'll move
Taylor's
on.
Like, we're next.
He's like, yeah, we're moving.
That was like Showtime at the Apollo right there.
That was like getting the hook.
It really was. That was great.
Thing I like about Snoop Dogg.
You know what's great? Taylor's just, I'm watching him too. He was like, oh, who, me? I don't know.
I didn't do nothing. So the Manning cast curse was added again last week. I'm not sure it counts, though. In week 17, Aaron Rodgers was on the cast, and the Packers lost on Sunday.
Wow,
yeah.
Oh, man.
That makes players to join the Manning cast 0-7 on the season.
Amazing.
Rodgers didn't play the whole game, though, so I'm
it
not
counts.
So two questions. Okay, that's what one of them. Does it count? And do you think current players will stay away next year because of this?
Great. That's a great question.
They never stayed away from the Madden. The Madden curse guys kept going on the Madden game. So, and there was a Chunky Soup curse at one point. Right? When Chunky Soup, whenever the guy did the Chunky Soup ads, he would get hurt or something like that.
Did you know that Sean McVay did a Chunky Soup commercial?
You do now.
I do. I do now. Didn't then, but do now.
No, not really.
I think they will keep doing it. I think they will keep doing it. I think, you know, it is weird. It's a weird coincidence, 0-7.
By the way, Omaha Productions just put out a tweet today saying, who is your dream guest for the next and last Manning cast?
Oh, are they doing the Arizona Rams game?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's January 17th. That's the Rams game, right?
Yeah, Rams game.
Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli. Who's your dream guest for the last Manning cast of the season?
Did they answer?
Well, no, just up to you.
They put it on Twitter. Out there?
Omaha Productions. That's the one who does it.
Who would be the dream guest for the Manning cast on Monday, Rams versus Cardinals? How about, you know who'd be really funny? Hmm. Will Ferrell would be really funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
That'd be really funny. How about Danny Trejo? He's a huge Rams guy.
Yeah?
Although he'll be at the game.
I want to see like Pete Carroll or something. Somebody who coaches against both teams. Pete Carroll would be good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, Pete Carroll would be good. Although they've gone bigger. They've got, they had Condoleezza Rice. Why not somebody like David Letterman?
He's been on it already.
Oh, yeah. David Letterman did do the show. Mm-hmm. What about Seinfeld?
I mean, but why?
Because he's funny?
All right. I mean, fair, but does he know football?
Why? You could ask that about any number of guys. Why Condoleezza Rice?
Well, she knows football.
Could they get, like, Tom Brady or something after he played? Because he would have already played.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's done it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Who would
Antonio
be
Brown.
Antonio Brown. That's pretty good.
That would be unbelievable.
Must watch.
You know what, though? I would be scared to put him on the air, to be honest. That's live TV.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch cursed. I mean, could it get much worse?
Yes, it could.
Yes, it could.
The answer
You're
is yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now Taylor slow to the
trigger. Somebody on this thread says Jason Sudeikis. That's pretty good.
Jason Sudeikis would be great. Yeah.
That would be a good one. That'd be a good one. All right. So I believe we are all coffee drinkers. Does everybody drink coffee?
Yes. I have a big chug of coffee every morning.
Perfect. So Keurig is currently selling versions of their coffee maker starting at $50 at Walmart, which is a great, great deal. I have one that can make the foam on the side, and it was like $200, but it was totally worth it. So how do you like your coffee, and are you a picky coffee drinker where it has to be a certain kind? Will you drink Keurig?
Here's the thing about coffee. For me, it's brown water.
What is wrong with you?
I can't tell the difference from one coffee to the other. To me, it's just brown water. And, you know, the only time I ever drink coffee is when I need to buzz, right? Like, Bergman, you've seen me. Before the show,
chugging it,
I'll get a gigantic coffee and just chug it so I'm hyper energetic for the show. Otherwise, other than that, I never drink coffee. I don't drink it on the weekends. I don't drink it for fun. I don't drink it, you know, I don't get little, espresso cups or anything like that. Like I see people in restaurants do. At the end of the meal, they say, would you like some coffee? I'm like, hell no, I don't want some coffee. I just ate dinner. I'm not a coffee guy. If I get a big cup of it before I go on the air, great. Otherwise, count me out. It's brown water.
There are two classifications of coffee for me. Coffee that tastes good or is like kind of more high-end refined coffee, and coffee I'm drinking to wake up. And drinking the coffee to wake up, I would drink anything. I don't care. I've drink, like when I travel, I can't even believe I'm going to admit this. It's so embarrassing. I make the coffee in the room, in the hotel rooms, right? But I don't really like hot coffee because I burn my tongue. I never learned how to drink hot coffee without burning my tongue. So I make it the night before, and then I put the whole pot in the little refrigerator in my room. And I put some sugar in it the night before so it melts good, you know, when it's hot. And that's what I drink. Like, it's not good. It's embarrassing that I drink that. But, I'm, you know, I'm on the road.
Room coffee's okay. There's nothing wrong with room coffee.
Hotel room coffee's not terrible. It's not pretty good, but it's not terrible.
I heard that, like, flight attendants wash their underwear in those machines or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's always stories about that people do nasty stuff with coffee machines in rooms. I've heard that. I don't know if it's
never drinking that again.
Yeah, I know. That's a thing.
Well, Taylor, before you go to the thing, do you drink coffee?
I'm with Mace. I do it for the effect.
Yeah.
Pretty much
it's a means to an end for you guys.
Yeah but I do no, but I do like some good coffee sometimes, Greg. But I'm not proud about it. I'm not like one of those, you know. Like, well, there's a writer. Oh, I'm going to tell secrets. Okay. There's a writer in L.A. I will not name names on air.
Name him.
I'll do it.
Name him. Who is it?
Okay, Baxter Holmes.
Baxter Holmes.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, Baxter. When he used to cover the Lakers, he would bring his own high-end coffee to the games. Like, he couldn't.
Really?
He could not drink that press room coffee. He's like, I just can't drink that.
That is super sweet.
And I was like,
Baxter.
Whoa, Bax. All right. But he always brought, like, really good stuff. Like, I was like, bring some for me next time.
See, yeah, I love coffee. I need it every morning. I have two cups every single day, and it's necessary. It is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, I am not going to be able to do this show or do anything else.
I bet you would.
I get a headache.
I bet if you just went outside for a walk in the morning, you'd be fine.
I take the dog for a walk every morning. I still need the coffee. No, I need the coffee. It's a very important part of my life.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. My life is in pursuit of a buzz. I'm in pursuit of a buzz. Whether it's coffee in the morning or weed at night, I'm buzzed all the time.
Truer words have not been spoken on the show in a while.
All right, that'll do it, Mace.
Good job.
That's it? That's all you got? That's your A game?
That will do it. It was my game.
I like the Keyshawn lead-in. I like that.
Yeah, I know.
I like doing that, too.
Yeah. I complained about the lead-in for a while.
The Chris Morales does good read-ins, but he was kind of overselling the take it away, Corporate Greg, right?
It away, Corporate Greg. Yeah, I don't like that. Keyshawn doing it is great. Yeah. Nothing against Chris Morales.
No, he does great ones, but I just that the nasally Corporate Greg was getting annoying. But the Keyshawn, he really leans hard on the Bergman part of it. He said that like 7 times.
Yeah, he did. He's really pumping up Bergman.
It's my segment. What do you want me to do?
It is your part of the show.
All right.
Coming up next, we're doing a huge call of the day. It's Taco Tuesday, so I'm sending a full taco dinner to one of our listeners who has a great call. I've got 3 calls listed so far as possibles. 3 calls listed as possibles. 877-710-ESPN. We're doing a lot of Rams today because we're getting ready for Monday and still we're analyzing, breaking down the game. You can react to anything, though. Got a stupid idea? Got a who do you want to be on the Manica? Any of that stuff. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.